the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 196 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at nfl.com/Sheck. Yes, mimicking the New York Jets chant, Fireman Ed and all the rest. Jets fans went home sad on Sunday after watching the Steelers, the previously winless Steelers, go in there and hold those Jets to just two field goals. Steelers, a long way to go. I think some delusional Steelers fans, in fact, fancy this win as the launching point for a division crown run. I don't know about that. I don't know about Falcons fans thinking that way. Redskins fans really have to feel very sad. I was talking to the guy, the host of Around the League on NFL Network, Andrew Siciliano. He made an interesting point. I said, because we were talking about, man, the Giants at 0-6 are still realistically in it. He said, what about if the Redskins had beaten the Cowboys on Sunday night? They'd be right there. They'd be 2-3 with a road win in Dallas, 2-3 and one game back behind those Eagles. They'd be realistically in the mix starting right now. It wouldn't take a bunch of dominoes to fall for them to get back into it. Anyway, let's look back now at week 6. Maybe we'll even look ahead to week 7 and the remainder of the NFL slate here with our main man from NFL.com and also from NFL Fantasy Live. You see him on the TV pretty much anytime that fine program's on. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure.
It's so fun to have your team. And for those of you who have not heard by now, the end of fan free agency, I chose the Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. who, of course, played on that Thursday night game. I forgot how much fun it is to have a primetime game with your team where you have the football to yourself. But then the anxiety-free Sunday, knowing that your team has already won.
That is a nice
cool.
sense. Yeah, to know. Yeah, it's right. To be, you're basically leading the Masters. And you're in the clubhouse.
Exactly. Oh,
they got to make 3 more birdies. Everybody out on the course has a long way to go before they catch me. I will say the Bears, it's interesting you brought them up, that I feel like that team is potentially in a bit of trouble here. First of all, look at who they've beaten. They're not great teams that they've knocked off so far. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Bengals, but they hadn't. I feel like they're now just now coming around a little bit. But it's not as though they've knocked off great teams, including the Giants and Sunday, the Steelers also were a winless team. And more disconcerting is they don't have Henry Melton. If you don't know Henry Melton, he was a Pro Bowl interior defensive lineman who was really the anchor of stopping the run. He's gone. Then the guys backing him up are now all gone. Now DJ Williams may be gone for the entire season. I know everybody has injuries, and you could play this game across the NFL. But the Bears have taken some massive injuries over the last 2 years, and now this would be year 3, where they get off to this great start, and then they fall back because of the injuries. I have my antenna up. I'm fearful that this might be the case with your Bears. I'm sorry to tell you.
Come on, Dave. Let me enjoy it.
I want you to enjoy it.
Can I not just have it? Who cares?
Why don't you enjoy this? You're now you're hoity-toity with your fast friends. I saw on the Twitter, mm-hmm. and you can follow Rank at Adam Rank, I saw that you got hit up by one at Cut on a Dime, a.k.a. Shady McCoy of the Philadelphia Eagles. What was he kibitzing with you about?
How cool is that?
It was cool, but what's he have to say to you?
You know, I've got one of these smartphones, and it always rings in if somebody who's verified tweets at you. So even if you're
weird,
not
weird, I didn't know that could happen.
No, it's cool. And so it's like, LeSean McCoy tweeted. You're like, what? And I went to go investigate, and it turns out he had seen our ranking segment either on the show or online somewhere, and he was very appreciative.
NFL Fantasy Live.
Yeah, NFL Fantasy Live or on NFL.com, one of the two. And he saw that I had him as my number one running back, which I've kind of had him there. Oh, it had to be recent because Adrian Peterson, of course, you have to put him number one or else Michael Fabiano will try to have you fired. So I had him at number one particular week, and he was very appreciative of it. And then we just, you know, now I consider us close friends.
Well, good for you. I'm sure he feels the same way, and it's rare because generally when he tweets at somebody, it is done so with malice.
Yes.
He went at Sean Moreno. Right. He went at which one of the Giants was he kibitzing with? Was it OC last year?
Yeah, it was. I think it was OC.
Or was it Tuck? I can't remember
it
who
it was. OC, yes.
Yeah. So that was nasty. Rank. Look at Cut on a Dime and Rank, though. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I don't know where he ranks in terms of overall talent. Shady McCoy is my very favorite running back to watch, and he is my favorite running back to watch over the last probably 10 or 15 years. I love that shifty stuff he does.
Yeah.
I know Adrian Peterson, all that running over people. That's good, but he's not. And same thing for Marshawn Lynch. But boy, the wiggle, as they say. I don't think Shady McCoy could be half the running backs in the NFL in a foot race, but he's my favorite one to watch because of the juke he got.
He is fast.
I don't think he is.
He is actually fast, but he's not top speed. He's not
what do you
Chris
know?
Johnson.
By the way, Black Tie, are you really eating your lunch right now?
I am not eating my lunch. Why would you say that?
Because I see you chewing. Don't jive me.
I will stand up and investigate.
Are you eating during the show?
I am not.
You couldn't set the food aside for a couple of minutes while we discuss?
I got the coach's show going.
Such heat. Point is, Shady McCoy, he is pretty fast, but he's not top speed.
How's his body language when he's running?
Hey, man, it's like as Damsick said, that move. He must be a great dancer to be able to move like he does.
That's an interesting question.
An awesome dancer.
You should ask him that, Rank. Next time you guys correspond, ask him if he's a great dancer because Black Tie's been keeping his eyes on him. Then he'll never contact you again once he hears that. Wait, who's this Black Tie and why is he watching me and wondering how I dance?
Our body language correspondent says you're probably a heck of a dancer.
Yes, it's been suggested by more than one listener that you start doing that, Black Tie. Maybe we really do need to carve out a segment, especially for body language correspondents. You know, like you need to weigh in and tell us the likes, the dislikes that you caught.
The types.
Whoa.
Right. What?
Now you're encroaching. Like, dislike, I think that's
specific. I'm sorry, you're right.
Oh, can I do a pick six?
Yes.
Rank's, six things I hate about.
Rank's fine pieces there. All right. So listen, it was a good week of an entertaining and clarifying week in some ways. Like I say, the Redskins could have jumped back into the things, but I know they're only a couple games back, but I feel like this comes down to who wins. Maybe I'll be singing a different song in a month from now, but I feel like this is a great game coming up in Week 7. The Cowboys and the Eagles, the final score, this is one of those games that should be 89-84, something crazy like that, because neither one has much of a defense, and both have terrific offenses. Although, I don't know what DeMarco Murray's status is going to be. Like I said, what did I say over a fortnight ago? In front of these last two Eagles games, I said, you watch, the Eagles, if they're decent at all, they'll win their next five, and that'll go a long way towards securing the division. They have a chance to do it. If they beat these Cowboys now, they will win five straight games.
Just building a heads on up, these DeMarcus two they've won. Ware is out 3 to 4 weeks with a quad injury.
I saw
injury.
That. Yeah, that's no good. All right, what else from the weekend it was? Well, let me say this before too much football. I watched Walking Dead, which returned the AMC show, and I had I said this before. By the end of the last season, I didn't know how into it was I am anymore. Now I'm completely off now. It was just a bunch of more zombies and the same people in the prison behind gates. And, hey, guess what? The zombies are still trying to get them. Yawn is what I say to that. You know what it is? It's held up against now. Since the end of Breaking Bad, I did some really good work, some really, really strong TV watching. I have to pat myself on the back. What Shady McCoy does for running backs, I do for TV watching, and I really did some Hall of Fame worthy work, catching all the way up on Game of Thrones, catching all the way up on Breaking Bad through the finale, and now when I hold up this show compared to those two, it has no chance. So Breaking Bad I might be done with. I don't know, I'll give it one more chance, but Damashek, pretty snoozy.
Damashek, his best friend is his TV set.
Oh, I didn't know what that was about. Yes, yeah, I just thought you randomly decided to start playing a song there. Yes, my best friend is my TV. So what?
I thought he dropped his lunch and accidentally hit a button.
Oops, sorry, fellas. A Funyun hit the go key there. Also, you know, was another thing that was weird. Speaking of TV related kind of things from the weekend on Sunday, why did CBS put Bill Cowher, longtime Steelers coach, in the booth for a Steelers game against the Jets? If you're a Jets fan, that had to be nauseating. Why would you want to sit and listen to this guy? Obviously, what do you think? He's not a human being. He doesn't have some ties to the team. He's not linked into them. Who do you think he wanted to win? I thought that was a big no-no. I wear it on my sleeve. I'm not going to hide who I root for. But to put him in the booth, fans might have to be in an uproar in New York.
Was he the third guy in the booth for that one?
Yeah, it was Sims and Nance.
Why? Yeah, I don't get that either. You know what? They did that with a Denver game, too.
I know. I was just going to say.
Sharp.
And then Shannon Sharp's in there high.
All the Jags fans had to be outraged.
I know. Those seven people were probably livid.
How dare you?
Boy, oh boy. Listen, you know what? What did we make of that game? That Peyton Manning did not smoke this team. What was your takeaway? Because I wrote a little something about it in front of it. On one hand, I thought, listen, there's got to be some baseline if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars of dignity where enough is enough. We cannot lose 50-2. We got to show up, fellas. We cannot get humiliated here. But that was offset by Peyton Manning, who you know has an eye towards history. He's not just a guy who, I think he buys that whole thing about like, hey, this is an NFL team we're playing and they have legitimate players and everything. I think he believes that, but I think he also in his head thinks, I'm torching everybody. You think I'm not going to torch the Jaguars and pad my stats and throw six touchdowns and all that. I was surprised that game was close at all. In fact, Gus Bradley made a mistake going for two when he could have gotten it to a one-score game. That was really a screwed-up decision.
I think that we should do
made a difference. But.
I understand, but I think we should do a special segment on the two-point conversion because coaches blow this all the
time. We should do a whole thing on time management, on clock management.
Yes.
These guys are the worst.
So they're so terrible with the two-point conversion because I could lay out the scenarios of how this is a bad idea. I won't go into that, but a couple of things.
Let me just say it, because I tweeted that very thing. I said, Gus Bradley blew it there. This should be a one-score game right now. And then people started tweeting at me, but it would have tied it. But another touchdown, if they make that two-point conversion, then another touchdown ties the game. Yeah, but if they miss it, it's a two-score game.
Yeah.
The Jaguars do not want to be in it. Be two scores down to the Broncos. That's the imperative there. And, yes, they screwed it up, and so did Gus Bradley of the Jags.
I appreciate the bravado that they were going to, you know what, we're pulling no punches type of thing, and like we're faking punts.
Yeah,
we're
that's cool.
We're
fake
going
the
fourth
punts.
On fourth
yeah.
down. Don't start doing crazy 2-point conversions. Even when you think that you have the Broncos on their heels, you certainly don't. But going back to your original point, it's like something my friend the Reverend told me. He said, you know, you might beat a team by 28 points, but when you're expected to beat a team by 28 points, pride will eventually kick in. And if I'm a Broncos fan, and this is the God's honest truth, if I'm a Broncos fan, I'm very encouraged by this. I would be, if I'm a Peyton Manning guy and I want Peyton, I would be so excited about this that this is a good thing for Peyton Manning. Because
why?
Well, let me tell you, because Peyton Manning, his whole career is these games. Is putting up meaningless stats in these kind of games. This is when you want Peyton Manning. This is when Peyton Manning, through the previous 20 years of his career, was at his best. When there is a meaningless October game in great weather or inside a dome, nobody is better than Peyton Manning. It's the, you know what? It's the fall, and it's the winter, and it's, you know, the playoffs is when he's not very good, when he's an average quarterback. But the fact that he was actually
because he was mediocre.
The fact that he was looking ahead to an opponent, maybe he's starting to get it. Maybe he sees that there's something better than torching the Jaguars in October.
Fascinating theory you've laid out for us all to consider, Rank. I don't know.
I don't know
what to make of the big game on Sunday. It's Sunday night's game, right? Yeah, it's the Sunday night game. He pays a visit to Indianapolis with Andrew Luck and company. I can't tell. I was thinking about that very thing watching Sunday Night Football wrap up as they were promoting that game. I was thinking, is this pressure packed enough? Is he going to be in the crosshairs enough that he's going to choke in this game? Or is this the kind of game where he shows up and puts it on the Colts? History says when the pressure is big on Peyton, he
Not
doesn't
so
come through.
Well, that's a great point.
But this is a big one. Then obviously everyone in the world is going to be looking at this game.
This is a chip on your shoulder type of game.
I agree.
I think he comes through big time.
What are you talking about?
Chip
what
on
in,
his shoulder.
What in his history shows that he comes through when the well, when the chip's on his...
This is actually... The difference when the chips are down as a chip on your
you
shoulder.
You know what? Black tie might actually make me go against my point, is that when we all expected Peyton Manning to beat a team by 28, i.e. win a playoff game, he came up small. Maybe the margin of victory was expected to be so big that, he felt too much pressure in a regular season October game. So maybe it's a bad thing for Broncos fans, showing that, look, typical Peyton.
This
pressure's
is going to be interesting,
on,
yeah.
The pressure's on. Like, you're expected to beat a team by 40 points, and you can't do it. It just shows, like, yeah, I don't have what it takes.
I mean, I can't imagine. I've practically forget the storyline and the return home and all that. I can't imagine that the Colts have enough defense, certainly in their secondary, to keep up with the weapons
they've been playing
that the
well,
Broncos
though.
Have. I know they have. I'm just saying that it's you would think that there are going to be mismatches all over the place, so they can't help but do it. But Paul Poluzny picked one off and ran it back on Sunday, so who's to say one of the Colts ain't going to do that? Anywho, all right, Black Tie. Oh! Before you get into it, we're going to do a blacklist here in just a second. The return of the blacklist, one of our favorites. This is,
before
Black
James
Tie just...
Spader stole it, yes.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Others, too. I've been seeing a lot. Oh, is it all references to James Spader's new show?
I suppose, yeah.
Welcome to my world, Black Tie. There's so many things that just randomly show up. We had no idea that existed, Dave. Who's this Dame Sheck? We had no idea that we were doing something that he's done before.
Sorry, who are you? No.
Anyway, listen.
That's true.
The point is...
But I wanted to point out that the Colts have given up the... they haven't played by the time we're taping this. Never mind.
Well, you know, I want to talk... There are so many different directions, because like I say, I thought there were some things clarified for us by the Week 6 action here, and I want to talk about some NFC North stuff. I say the Bears, I fear that they might plummet, but then the Packers also have some key... absences on their team coming up over the next couple weeks here. All right, before we jump into it, though, one thing I want to mention... I also have the new Shame or / Sheck report should be up by Tuesday night. And if it's past Tuesday night, then you can assume it's already up there. But be on the lookout for that one. And we'll get into all of it. The Texans fans and the crummy QB play across the land, Brandon Whedon and so on. We'll get to all that stuff. But real quick. At NFL.com, if you go to the fantasy section, you'll see the weekly pick'em game. And who is Dave Damashek or Dame Sheck Black Tie? He's the one who just taught you all how to do it. What did I tell you the other day, Black Tie? I told you you were in the lead early in the season. So what? That's fluke. That's what I call that, fluke. However, Damashek, not unlike the people fighting against the... what are their names in the Matrix rank? Who are the guys in the glasses? What do they call them?
The agents.
Sentinels? The agents and the Sentinels, all the bad
right.
guys. They're the good guys fighting them, Neo and all his friends. These people, they upload. They're like, hey, I need to learn how to fly a helicopter. Boo-doo, boo, 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 boo. All right, now I'm ready to go. I can throw darts at team names in week one and try and figure out who's going to win. That's nothing. Now, though, I'm learning. You see, I'm being uploaded with the information week in and week out. By the end of by the month of December, I'll likely not miss a single game. In the meantime, I only missed two, Black Tie, this week. I picked, what did I say to you? I said, I didn't just get them right. I came within a whisker of getting them right on the nose, a couple of those scores. I really did banner work there. You can check that out at NFL.com/Sheck if you don't believe me. But among those, I predicted and caught no small amount of heat from Saints fans for saying that I thought Tom Brady and company were going to beat them. And people said, have you seen the Patriots? Those aren't the Patriots anymore, and our team is the best. And then, of course, Tom Brady did what he did. And, by the way, in doing so, showed all the people a week ago or a few days ago, Rank, you were out. We brought our pal Elliot Harrison and our other pal from around the league, Chris Wessling, in here to debate. They're pro-Romo. You know me, I'm anti-Romo. We debated. We had a fine debate about this. And that spurred on Sunday evening after Brady threw that interception at the end of the game, before, you know, through the bomb to Julian Edelman that got picked off. All of a sudden, all the snarky people started weighing in on Twitter like, well, I guess I should make a joke about Tom Brady being a choker, right? He's a choke artist. And everybody started weighing in prematurely. And that is a reminder, everybody. Tom Brady, whose team is not very talented, is 5-1. You understand? See, that's the difference. When the game is on the line,
that's
what Tom Brady does. You see,
you cannot measure a quarterback by wins and losses, Super Bowl wins or losses, or how they perform in the playoffs.
No, it's about their QBR.
Yes.
And what their quarterback rating is in the second half, apparently. And if you don't know that, then you don't know football rank.
Listen, if you don't know what his passer rating is in the fourth quarter when trailing by 7, then you don't have the whole story.
I know. Yeah, I only know that over 8 years he's gone 8-8 pretty much every year. And the 1 year he went 13-3, he lost at home to Eli, who's not his equal.
Yes. Why are you always trailing in these games? Mm-hmm. Why are these fourth quarter rallies necessary?
Because he has no help, right?
Oh, okay.
Tony Romo has no help. Why don't you see that?
He's got
no one on his team.
Dez Bryant would not have a career if it were not for Tony Romo.
Jason Witten?
No.
That guy? You think that guy's good? Just because he's getting a gold jacket in a few years down the road does not make him good. Tony Romo gave him that gold jacket. All right, listen, I don't want to get into that, but I do want to say this. I often have bashed Bill Belichick on this podcast.
Yes, you have.
Because I say, how can you call him a defensive guru if his defenses are perennially bad? Well, as Brian Hartline of the Dolphins reminded us just last week, that defense is rounding into shape. It's interesting. Just as the Patriots' offense starts to come back down to earth this season, now rises up that defense. But you got to give Belichick credit, because in Atlanta, in what was essentially a must-win for those Falcons, they went crazy with that bizarre gunner coverage on Tony Gonzalez when they put two defenders right on the line, basically holding him up so he couldn't get any kind of a release off the line. Then they just erased the guy who a week ago I'd been saying, I'll tell you who should be the MVP of the NFL so far. Is Jimmy Graham.
Right.
He goes 0 for 0 for 0.
NFL players knew what they were doing when they kept him off the top 100.
They shut him out. What a job that was. What a thing that is. That goes into the annals. Yes, Tom Brady's legacy, is burnished by that last whatever it was, 90 seconds. But how about Belichick? Just completely erased Jimmy Graham from the thing. And that should be disconcerting. I wonder now, if other teams in the copycat league, did he give them some template, or was it just Aqib Talib is now one of the top two or three shutdown corners? Remember, he was a first round draft pick. He's had off the field jazz over the years down in Tampa, but it looks like, I mean, you know, and he was a nice addition at the end of last season, but
nice
now
addition.
He just shuts down everybody.
That guy, if he didn't get hurt in the AFC championship game, the Patriots win that.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
But and a phenomenal win, that's for sure.
How has it taken this long, though, for somebody to finally say, okay, we have a shutdown corner. The Saints have essentially one guy to stop. Why not put him on?
A terrific idea. Yeah, that's
not
a
lot of teams can do it, though, because the Saints have a bye coming up after that. They play the Bills, who right now are banged up in the secondary. Stephen Gilmore, I guess, is the best.
But they
corner.
Put their number one. That's what Rank is saying. It's not like they used their nickel on the tight end. They put their number one guy
on. I'm looking at the number one, so the teams the Saints have coming up. Week 8 against the Bills, Stephen Gilmore, if he's healthy. Week 9 at the Jets, Cromartie, maybe.
We'll
see. I don't know. I don't know if he can bump it
around.
That's
a nice matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's
they
a,
have
at
the
least
Cowboys.
Long. Yeah.
Brandon Carr was decent last night.
Well, listen, the point is something we've talked about, is that it's an ongoing mismatch because a linebacker or a safety is never going to be able to handle Jimmy Graham, but a top-tier guy. And by the way, the Saints, when you watch them play, it's what we've said this now for a couple weeks. Do they ever throw to wide receivers? Do they have anybody who's capable, including Marcus Colston? I know he has been good, but he's a little older. They have nothing. It's all Sproles and pounding it with Pierre Thomas and going to Jimmy Graham. That is a weird offense, as productive as it is, that they very rarely use the tight. You talk about an unorthodox approach. Their wide receivers, Colston, I'll give him a break because he's had some good years, but like, you know, Meacham and Stills and
Stills
Tunes.
Is good. Stills,
I know he is, but they're not consistently
they use
productive.
Every other wide receiver essentially is a deep threat. So Meacham, Stills, that's why even Devery Henderson, when he was playing, they're deep threats. Colston is a catch and traffic guy. If you need a guy to go through in a tight spot, you go to him. Jimmy Graham is essentially your number one receiver where he gets most of the balls. And then you have Sproles coming out the backfield who is just like a dump-off catch and run guy. So it's a formula that works, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
All right, Black Tie. Let's get – oh, I also want to do some follow the tweeter here. I also want to get into a little bit of that. You know what? Let's before you do the blacklist, tease us with a little follow the tweeter. The big question of the week, along with what gives with Houston Texans fans, is who's better in the AFC West, nay, the entire AFC, nay, perhaps even the entire NFL? Is it those Denver Broncos at 6-0, or is it the KC Chiefs? How do we do it? We do it with science. Black Tie, follow the tweeter. Who has more Twitter followers, the Denver Broncos or the Kansas City Chiefs? Is that a good question to start with?
Let's go with that. I mean, you just took it right from my playbook, but I was done with my meal, ready to get that going.
Good.
And then you just got it started, so let's do that.
I'm glad
Chiefs,
you got some food on your belly
KC
there.
KC Chiefs or at Denver Broncos, who has more Twitter followers?
Rank, I'll start with you. Who do you think?
Let me look this up.
No, cheater. Just do it. Do it from your gut.
Guess?
Do it from your gut. Have you never played Follow the Tweeter on the show?
He played it last week.
Oh, he did?
You can't look it up. What's the point if you're just going to look at it?
What do you mean look it up? You've never played Follow the Tweeter on this
program. Give your reasons, and you lay it out.
I don't think I've done this before. So we figure out who has the most Twitter followers.
Don't be a creep. You've played. I don't know why you don't know the rules.
Okay.
Yes, we've played this.
I think Kansas City has a more passionate fan base.
Just over the Broncos.
Based on fan free agency, I heard from the Chiefs fans a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a word from the Broncos fans.
This is one of those things. It's a funny thing. There are probably about 11 teams that get credit for being the best fan base in all the NFL. Like if the broadcasters are there, then that's the best place in the country to watch a pro football game. They'll declare that if they're in Kansas City, in Seattle, in Green Bay, I'm trying to think. Pittsburgh gets a little of that kind of talk.
Mm-hmm.
Most knowledgeable fans. What rubbish, too, by the way. Did you watch those St. Louis Cardinals in baseball now? They're the best. Oh, they're the best fans. Oh, come on. Cut it out. They're the best. I'm trying to think of who else fits that category, though. Cowboys are considered to have certainly among the most intense fans.
But that's
one of the arguments for Romo all the time. He's under so much pressure because he plays in Dallas.
Everybody hates him because he plays in Dallas.
Anyway, there are many teams that are the best, have the best fan bases around. And let me tell you something. You know why my answer is the Broncos? Because of their recent kerfuffle with those Jacksonville Jaguars. They tweeted, we have scored, you know, the Broncos in week 5 scored more points in one game than the Jags have all season. The Jags tweeted back, of course, stay classy, Denver. Denver mm-hmm. tweeted back, just the facts or whatever, just the stats. I think that that brought some recent heat their way, and I think that that means that the Denver Broncos, who have been more consistently a winning team over the Twitter era, mm-hmm. that is what will boost them into the top spot. Black Tie, lay it on us.
All right, guys. Solid points, but first of all, you have to look back to the fact that the Broncos in recent years, they had the whole Tim Tebow situation going on. That
was
big a story as
that's true.
In a sports world. So a lot of people are going to latch onto the Broncos even if they're not
necessarily
loud.
That, too, was also a part of my thinking.
But the Chiefs, they have really loud fans. If you listen to the NFL ATL podcast, they always talk about the Chiefs and how loud they are and always getting on them. But overall, the Broncos, like I said, with Tebow and with Manning now, that success, they are at 360,000 followers, while the Chiefs are only at a meager 207,000.
Oh, yeah. Slam dunk. Good for that. All right. Now let's – okay, with that out of the way, let's get into the rest of the big items of the weekend with the Blacklist.
The Blacklist. Black Tie reads current events. The Blacklist. Damn a check and rank if they're coming. The Blacklist. The Blacklist.
All right, guys. We're going to kick this one off again with dealing with fans. Fans made headlines this week, guys. So my question to you – not in a good way, though.
No, indeed.
So my question to you guys is, whose fans are lamer? The Texans fans for booing Matt Schaub when he got hurt, seriously injured. That was not cool. the Chiefs fans for being a part of this whole breaking the Guinness Book of World Records noise, whatever, that whole deal. And the last group of fans were
the Patriots?
The Pats. There we go.
The Patriots fans who made like the Miami Heat fans and left early and missed this dramatic ending. I'll start with you, Rank. You can kick this one off. But let me just say the one thing I will say about the Chiefs fans with this noise hokum is, as an overarching point, it's sort of like the elite thing for quarterbacks. The Guinness Book of World Records. What is the significance of getting in there at this point? Who cares? Is the Guinness Book of World Records? Does anybody have a Guinness Book of World Records sitting on their shelf that's newer than 1992? I mean, it's a Guinness Book of World. Oh, wow, we really have done something, except that it's a book that has no relevance in 2013.
Who cares anymore, because we have the internet on our phones? The whole reason that book existed was to settle bar bets.
That's so right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why Guinness sponsors it. And then now, I remember I was at a bar like not too long ago, and somebody was saying, you know, somebody had a question about, was arguing with me about something that I knew I was correct on. And it's so fun just to pull it up on your phone and go, nope, slide the phone across the table and be like, no, seriously, you're absolutely wrong.
You're right. It's been Trump now.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, are you familiar? Is that a national thing, Uber? Is everybody familiar with this Uber business now? Taxi cabs ruled the, you know, they forever, when you needed a ride somewhere, taxi cab, unless you're rich and you call up a limo or something.
Right.
So you get a taxi cab. Now there's this Uber jazz. You go on your phone, your smartphone, boop, 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 Uber, and you just push a button, and they say, like, hey, your Uber car's on the way. Shows up. It's a black town car or an SUV, if you please. And you just ride around. Costs about the same as what a taxi cab does. I don't know if it's all over everywhere, but taxi cabs don't like it in L.A. and New York and Chicago, places like that.
I'm happy they don't like it.
Raising the bar. It's saying this is a better way. Why would I possibly call a cab and wait and get in some stinky cab when I can jump into the lap of luxury, the back seat of a handsome town car?
It's like all the people when you fly into Las Vegas and you see them waiting hours for these taxi cabs where there's a shuttle right there, you know, and you just show up and boom.
I know. Should I use my smartphone to figure out if I'm right or you're right? No. Wait, I have a Guinness Book of World Records. I just bought it. Let me go out to my trunk and see if you can give me a hand with it, because it's pretty big. I can't get it out of the trunk.
Absolutely.
Same thing.
And that's my answer.
Answer the question.
That was my answer.
I'm going to rule out the Chiefs fans and the Seahawks fans. This loud thing, it's a cute bit of hooey and applesauce. Who cares? It's not a relevant issue as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Anybody who knows me knows how I feel about the fans, and particularly the sports teams of Boston. I'm going to give them a pass on this one, because the Red Sox
were
playing in a pretty important ball game. So, you know what? It didn't look like you were going to win. It's hard to get out of Foxborough Stadium.
Completely agree. If you don't know how Foxborough, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's like a 40-minute drive. So if you wanted to see the Red Sox game playing the Tigers in Game 2 on Sunday night, you probably had to hightail it out of there. If it was a close game, you probably stick around. It did seem like the game was over.
It seemed like that.
So, I would hang in. Under normal, so I think Patriots fans probably wouldn't have walked out of the stadium, but they figured, this one's done. Let's at least go see the Sox.
Exactly. However, I will say that had I been in a circumstance like that, like if, for instance, I'm at Soldier Field watching my Bears and an Angels playoff game was going to be started soon.
Right.
I would have figured out a way to have some way to watch the game in the parking lot. Been like, hey, let's just drink beers in the parking lot and watch the game.
I like that.
When the crowd thins out, then we'll take off or we'll call Uber or whatever we're doing. So I would have done that. But I will still give the Red Sox fans the pass. And I will say that the Texans fans have gone completely mental. The thing that surprises me so much about – I'm surprised this many Texans fans care. Because you think of football in Texas, you're like, okay, if this was a high school game, I could see people getting this upset. They're trashing Matt Schaub's house. they're, you know, booing him when he gets hurt. Like, I'm surprised they care this much, because that just doesn't – that never struck me as a fan base. You're like, oh, those Texans fans, they're hardcore.
I think they must have a weird chip on their shoulder, because the Oilers were bad and they played in that crummy old Astrodome, which was at one point the eighth wonder of the world, but
right.
became so apparent. Everything you read about what it was, there were, you know, the infestation of bugs and rodents and whatever, and how disgusting it was, the locker rooms and everything. Who would want to be in a joint like that, aside from Angels fans, of course, because they like to eat the rodent food, right? Isn't that wasn't
Absolutely.
The big story?
I've never seen a rat in Angel Stadium.
Anyway, I don't mean to distract from the point. Yes, their Oilers left, and then they get a team back, and it's a football country down there in Texas, and so they like all that. But anywho, all that being said, shame the devil, you Houston Texans fans. You cheered your own guy getting hurt. That's the worst of the worst. Move over, Eagles and Philly fans in general. You are hereby, as someone who, you know, they always say there's no accounting for taste. I am the taste accountant, and I am here to tell you, you are officially off the hook. The Texans fans are the worst. That's awful stuff. I don't care what the circumstances. Cheering the injury of your own player is just woeful. And, boy, I feel like here's a cool move I'm going to suggest for the Texans players to pull at their next home game, which doesn't happen until early November. Next time, to show their disappointment in the effort of their fans, not unlike what the fans typically do to the players they root for, mm-hmm. I think the Houston Texans should come out of the locker room with brown paper bags on their heads. I don't like you, fans. How about that? We don't like your behavior.
That's
we don't
nice.
Like the way you're performing this year.
I liked it.
That's a good idea. Yes, Texans are and you know, in our society now, where everybody has to apologize for everything, same thing as Romo apologists. So Tony Romo, he hasn't. Well, but I'm going to make excuses for him and everything else. These people are rising up. Well, it wasn't everybody. Well, it was significant enough that I could hear it on my TV set. I could hear
Pretty
the
bad.
Cheers. It was bad. There's no apologizing. It wasn't 11 people. It was a lot of people cheering for poor Matt Schaub laying on the ground as bad as he was. And by the way, joke's on you. Your alternatives are Case Keenum and T.J. Yates.
Oh,
good luck.
Case Keenum starting.
Good luck. Yeah, I agree. Well, I think I would start. But reminder, I saw on Sunday on Twitter, a lot of social media picking up the storm. What about Vince Young? Why not bring in the old UT hero? He won us a national championship. Vince Young. Who said that 2 weeks ago, Black Tie? Your old pal Dave Damashek. That's who. Didn't he? All right, next
Vince
question.
Vince Young did tweet out on Sunday saying, hey, if anyone needs a quarterback. When Shaw went down, by the way. If anyone needs a quarterback, I'm ready to go.
Well,
so we'll see.
I've been saying it. Say whatever you want, but I'll tell you, the opposite of Tony Romo. Vince Young in the NFL as a starter, winner. That's it. Go.
Alrighty.
Next one.
Next question, guys. Who's the better one-win team? The Pittsburgh Steelers, Sheck Steelers, who finally got off the schneid yesterday against the Jets?
Ugh.
Ugly game, but they won all the same. The Falcons, who are on the bye but are 1-4. And the Washington Redskins, who I picked to beat the Cowboys, and that did not pan out for my weekly pick 'em.
I thought that was a bold pick, though, and I it certainly could have gone that way. I'll go with, out of that trio of teams, I know you'll call me a homer no matter what, but I have the Falcons in preseason. I said they'll go to the Super Bowl, but I just think their defense is destroyed now. They've lost the only few pieces that they went out and, well, not every piece, but I mean they lost a lot of significant players there. No, I'll stick with that. Well, you know what? They don't have Julio Jones either. Yeah, it's got to be the Steelers then. Going forward in that bum division, who's the best or who has the best chance of winning their division? I'll go with the Steelers. The Steelers, if they beat the Ravens in Pittsburgh, have a realistic shot. They're going to need to run the table within the division. They got to play catch-up, including a big game whenever that, I think it's early December, when they play the Bengals in Pittsburgh. But that's the first order of business. They've got to run the table. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's by virtue of how crummy the rest of the AFC North is. But I'll go with the Pittsburgh Steelers going forward out of that trio. Rank, how say you?
I'd say it's the Redskins.
Redskins?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, I don't think the Steelers are that good.
I don't think they're that good either. I don't
to
think
be
they're
honest. I didn't watch much of the I didn't watch much of the game they had against the Jets because, quite frankly, it was boring. And there's
what
eight
do you
games.
Mean? It was 19-6.
There's eight games going on. That's the one that when Akbar and I get together and we watch the games in the green room, that's the one we never stopped on. That's the one we kept flipping past. Like, didn't even – I think when there was a touchdown – I don't even remember. It was Emmanuel Sanders scored the touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, who was that? Oh, Emmanuel Sanders. Okay, fine. Then I never need to pay attention to that game again. And there's just – it seemed like the Jets were the perfect opponent for them because, you know, they're as slow as the Steelers are. So you're looking at two
teams.
Well,
but the Steelers do – the thing with – I mean, the thing the Jets do have is a legitimately good defense, it would seem. And Roethlisberger, once again, I know, again, oh, Dave, you're a homer, but Roethlisberger looked good again. He really he was really spinning it once again on Sunday, much to the delight of Bill Cowher and to the dismay of the home crowd and to the people, the Jets fans watching on TV, listening to Bill Cowher call it. How crazy. That really is a weird move on CBS's part.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess I just don't understand what the Jets have a pretty decent following, no? I mean, wouldn't you think that they...
They play in New York City. Yes, of course they have a big following.
Do they really? I mean, I don't know. I never
I think they're the little brother to the Giants, of course, just like the Mets are to the Yanks. But, yeah, I think they probably have one of... I think if you took a hand vote of... I'd love to do that. Can't they include that on the next census? I think that should be a question on this.
Team?
They should do that because we always see every year. It's always determined by jersey sales and stuff like that. Those things aren't exactly, you know, aren't really hitting the bullseye with determining these things. Should just be. Let's you weigh in. You have to list one team and that's it.
No, that'd be pretty cool.
Then we'd know once and for all.
I'd be interested to find out because when I was growing up, I never knew anybody who was a Giants fan.
That's a good point. I
didn't realize the Giants had fans. I figured it was kind of the equivalent of how college football is non-existent in New York City. Like, if you think about
that's
how...
Great point. I wonder why that was true.
I just don't think of...
They were just bad, I guess, is why.
It must have been.
People don't like bad teams. They were never on TV.
Never on TV.
Even though, it's funny now that you say this, because Ron Jaworski's Eagles and Harold Carmichael and Walter Abercrombie, Wilbur Montgomery and those guys, they were pretty good. And, right. I mean, I remember it seemed like they and the Cowboys were on TV every other week against one another. And the Redskins started to rise by about 80.
What? 82, yeah.
Right.
You
know, they started to get better. But, yeah, the Giants were bad until, you know, like Parcells year three or thereabouts.
Like
mid-80s. Yeah, like 84-ish, 85-ish. Yeah, I didn't know anybody. Who's got to be the least, at this point, I guess, who's the least popular team? It's probably those Florida teams, right?
That's
based on attendance. Yeah, probably based on that. All right, Black Tie. Was that an answer? Did we answer whatever question you asked us? Oh yeah, who's the best 1-4, 1-3, 1-4, 1-5 team? Yeah, I say Pittsburgh ranks as Skins. How say you, Black Tie?
I would go with the Falcons because I do think they were 1-4, but they had a lot of chances to be 2-2 and 3, or even 3-2. But now with Julio Jones being down, I think they're just gonna trail off. I would have to.
Well,
go
so
with
you just said the Falcons are your pick, but they're going to trail off.
Well, I would go with the Falcons, except for the Julio Jones injury. But based on how they've played, I would definitely think they're the best one.
To this point, you're right.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are a hard luck team.
All that said, though, I'm still holding on the Redskins a little bit. Remember last year, they were 3-6. Shanahan made that comment of, like, you know, reassessing and reevaluating for next year. Everyone thought they were about to tank, and they came on strong. I just think that RG3 looked more mobile last night on Sunday, even though his accuracy was
yeah,
off.
It was bad. I'll tell you the other thing
shocking.
Is, you know what the other overarching point you can make as far as that goes? I had forgotten even about 3-6. I think if you just stand pat, if you make preseason picks and don't look back at them and ignore what you decided, if you're all over the place changing them, all of a sudden now, I had the Rams in the playoffs. Now they're 3-3. They're right there. There are a couple teams ahead of the 49ers are 4-2, I believe, and the Packers are now 3-2, and the Bears are 4-2. Those are going to be tough things to overcome, but they're in the mix. And by the way, so are the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Cardinals
those
are 3-3.
Those 3-3 teams.
And the Panthers are 2-3.
I'll tell you, yeah, and that defense is good. And I'll tell you another thing. That I say the Packers have some problems because Randall Cobb's on the shelf for at least a couple or a few weeks. Clay Matthews is on the shelf for another 3 weeks. That's bad for them. The other team is – oh, the Niners. That's what I was going to say. I think that Niners team, they look good against the Cardinals. I think there's a chance that they're going to sort start to play worse and worse. I know
they're going to get worse.
They're looking better and better, I realize. But now Alden Smith, they may not be back at all this season. There's questions about that secondary. If they don't get if they don't steadily get a pass rush, that secondary can be had. We know that much. And they're getting a little dinged up on the O-line, and Kaepernick is it does seem to me Kaepernick gets more passes knocked down, not just at the line, but downfield. There's something to the association between the fact that he throws everything on a rope, and so he doesn't throw the ball. Basically, he doesn't drop the ball in over the first line of defense in there. He doesn't drop it in the breadbasket, as it were. Everything is a bullet, and I think defenders are getting fairly accustomed to knowing to if you get in front of your man.
He has no trajectory on his right. passes, and you know me, I'm a big fan of the sexy deep ball, complete opposite of what Russell Wilson does. It's where it has that loft and that angle to it. Kaepernick throws a fastball, not a sexy.
That's
deep
all he throws. A fastball. Yeah. Same as me. That's all I throw are fastballs. That's the reason I can't play in the NFL is because I don't throw the touch pass. It's all 100 miles an hour. All right, next question.
So, last question. We're talking about the Bears, and just straight up, who's going to win the NFC North? You have the Lions at 4-2 in the lead, tiebreaker over the Packers, who also at 4-2, if I'm correct.
Three and two, the Packers.
The Bears at 4-2 as well. So who's going to win the NFC?
I'll say you.
It's going to be the Bears.
Are we just going to do that because of your allegiance?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Am I not afforded to? I've gone so long.
I know. Well, I did say the Steelers. I did say the Steelers, but I tried to bring some reason to it. I think that defense could be in a little bit of trouble.
I do feel the defense is in probably a lot of trouble. But I'm really excited about this offense.
I like the offense quite a bit.
Jay Cutler is playing.
And you know what? He's running around more and more than I've ever seen him run around. He's tucking the ball quite a bit against those Giants and scrambling for touchdowns. We saw him run over a Steeler defensive back earlier in the year.
Stuck him, yeah.
Yeah, I think that the Packers, if everybody's healthy, they're the best team. But now at 3-2... Who do they – they've got an interesting – oh, they play the Browns. That's who they play this week.
That's an interesting matchup for them if James Jones can't come back, because you take Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden's going to be locked into Jordy Nelson.
Right.
Who's Aaron Rodgers going to be throwing at?
Yeah, good question.
Because that kid he kept throwing at the other day, the rookie, what's his name? But I can't even think. I'll look it up.
I can't think of who it was.
No, he was annoying me because he stalled so many of their drives. Because it's probably not all his fault because the chemistry is not completely there.
Talking about Boykin?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Boykin.
Jarrett Boykin.
And it's one of those things where the chemistry is not there and they haven't worked together enough, so they're kind of like missing on things. But he dropped a number of balls too, and you're like, this guy. And I'm mainly doing it because I had started Jordy Nelson on my fantasy team, but I was so upset, like so many drives stalled because that guy couldn't catch the football. And so now you're going to basically be playing. He's got to step up in this next game. Couple of games.
That's a great point on Joe Hayden being able to probably erase Jordy Nelson. Yeah, so what's going to make that offense go? But now suddenly they have a running game. I know I said 2 weeks ago I think it's the Bears. Now I'm starting to swing back to the Packers. They win it every year. I don't know. You know what? TBD, because I think the Vikings are going to play better once they get Josh Freeman in there.
Which has to be this week.
Yeah, there's no point to roll with Matt Castle.
Even if you have five plays, just go out there and run it.
I'll stick with the Packers in that division. That's going to be my answer. Black tie?
I would go with the Packers too, but just like with the Falcons, now they don't have Randall Cobb. I don't know. A-Rod has not looked as – remember a couple of years ago when he won the MVP and the year before he won the Super Bowl? He showed a level of excellence, which he just doesn't reach as consistently as before. And I'm a little bit cold on them now, especially with Cobb being out. So I got to go with the Lions. Because Furrier now, being a tight end who can catch balls, they never really had that with Pettigrew always jumping passes. Reggie Bush out that backfield. So, yeah, take Calvin Johnson out the game if you want to. Well, we have other weapons that we can throw.
I know players are ultimately more important than the coaches, but I'll tell you, if it comes down to McCarthy versus Schwartz, give me McCarthy. That's why I'll stick with them over the Lions. All right, Black Tie. So that's it for the blacklist. You're going to do a little more follow the tweeter here?
Yeah, I got one more for you guys. Oh. All right, so TNF this Thursday on NFL.com, on NFL Network and NFL.com. Damage Check, which you're a part of. Do you know the name of the show?
NFL.com Live Thursday Night Football.
There we go. Good job.
Is that right?
That is right. You got it right. I have a question for you guys. We have the Seahawks going up against the Cardinals. So my question is, there are two premier corners, perhaps the two top corners in the game, and maybe this is how we settle who is the best corner in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Peterson or Richard Sherman at OurSherman_25 or at RealPeterson21. Who has more followers, guys?
Oh, come on. That's not even – can't even be a contest, can it? Revis? What about – so you're not involving Revis.
Just the TNF guys.
Just the TNF. Well, I mean, how can it not be sure?
First of all, I don't know if Revis is still the top corner in the league.
We've done this.
Oh, so Rank does remember playing Follow the Tweeter.
Yeah, because it was Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
That's right, because
There's no way. How could a kid who's a pretty soft-spoken guy and Patrick Peterson have anything close to what Richard Sherman, who plays playoff games and everything?
So you guys are both going Sherman?
Yeah. I'm positive it's Richard Sherman.
Well, I'll have you know this. Patrick, yeah, he is fairly quiet. He's not as media savvy. But as you know, Sheck, I spent his whole draft week, the week leading up to the draft.
I know. He and I are going to jump not into my sports car, but into one of his sports cars
this
year.
I'm the one name dropping here. Hold on.
All right, go ahead. And Rank both got the name drop. I thought I might inject my own.
I spent the whole week with Patrick Peterson and his family leading up to the draft, the year he got drafted. And he's just not as media savvy, but he is a bit talkative and he is a bit restless and whatnot. But with all that being said, Richard Sherman he has like a column on Peter King's website, I believe.
Hmm. Yeah, he's supposed to be a terrific guy. Yeah,
he went to Stanford.
Yeah, bright guy and all that stuff. He's just one of those people who's good at a lot of things and is bashful about it. Like, he doesn't shy away from saying, yeah, I'm actually good at what I do. He has more followers than 190,000, while Peterson is just a little over 100,000.
All right, so.
Is he the best? Who is the better corner, though, if you had to pick one? Are you going Sherman or Peterson? Who's the better player overall?
I would definitely go with Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
If we're saying who would I rather have on my team, I'd give me the guy who can return a punt for a touchdown.
Wait, did we just miss that Black Tie just spent like 5 minutes talking about how him and Patrick Peterson are best friends and they spent all this time together?
I would say
and
best
now he's like,
friends.
You think he's better than Richard Sherman? Yes, he's way better.
I think it's funny that if you're so close, he hasn't been on this podcast once.
Well, it's in the works. Let's just put it that way.
Didn't you spend a week with him?
Yeah.
I think I've heard
you
before.
You just dial him up and be like, hey, Patrick, you got a couple minutes here? We want to talk to you a little bit here. No?
Waiting for the right time.
All right.
Well, same reason we haven't had John Hamm on this podcast yet.
That's a fair point.
Oh,
hey, well, listen.
Snap.
He's got faster friends than me. He's got Sporty Simmons who has 10 times. How about 100 times our reach? You know, he's media savvy, like you like to point out. He knows where his bread's buttered. Speaking of that, though.
So he'll go on the Sports Guys podcast and not this one?
Well, I haven't asked him to be on this podcast, but I think if he has to choose, you know, which one he'd rather do, I think he would probably say, give me the one that a million people listen to. I think only like last check, how many per episode, like 625,000 people listen to this podcast per show, something like that. So it's paltry compared to
what
the Sports Guy does. What?
How many thousand did you say listen to this podcast?
I don't even remember what I said.
Yes, that's the wrong number.
Oh.
I won't tell you what it is, but it's better than that.
Well,
although,
I'm glad you'll
be
keep it from me. It's important that you keep it from me.
It could be better, though, if you subscribe on iTunes and comment and rate and do all that good stuff.
There you go, Black Tie.
Don't you have any good comments to read or something?
We haven't done that in a while.
Is that not a thing?
Oh, yeah. Drop us a line on iTunes.
You're too busy.
Comment, rate, all that jazz. Do it.
We'll read it next episode, I promise.
All right, good. Do we have anything else we wanted to get to here, Black Tie, or should we just call it a day?
I think there's much else to do here, but call it a day.
I think that's about it, guys.
I feel, you know what I'm going to say? I felt like we came in here, we didn't need any guests, we sat down, we kibitzed the three of us, the Iron Trio, you know? Not unlike Italy, Japan, and Nazi Germany back in WW2, the three of us from different places, but we came together with one purpose in mind, destroying America.
We're the Axis powers of the NFL.
I got to say, though, just being honest and self-aware, if you're not a black tie fan, I don't know if you like this podcast. There's a lot of black tie in it. I did a lot of talking.
That's true. Oh, you know what? That reminds me.
There's a lot of heat on that.
Thanks for bringing this up, because if you guys listened last week or know anything about me or follow me on Twitter, I do appearances at JT Schmidt's Tustin, California. And it's turned into a weekly thing. And I want to thank all the rank amateurs and the Czech Republic who showed up. And in particular, there was one fan. His name is Kyle. And he was talking. He's a big podcast guy. And he was talking about it. He's like, yeah. He goes, you know what's weird? He's like, I've met like three people just randomly. And like, hey, you guys listen to podcasts? And then every time it comes up like, hey, you listen to Dave Damage Take Football Project? Black tie sucks, right? Yeah. And like everybody agrees. They just kind of go on. And he goes, I know it's kind of a bit. But he's like, I feel it's kind of true. And I said, yes, you hit the nail right on the head. It started off as a bit, but as I now give it a more critical listen, I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
I love black tie. Black tie, though, yes, I get those emails. But see, this is what you've set yourself up for, black tie. You understand? It doesn't make a difference if you're, you know, it's sort of like the Tony Romo as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Hey, you want to wear the star on the side of your hat, black tie? You've opened yourself up to this criticism, fair or otherwise.
I can handle it, guys. As I say, irrelevance is the enemy. So if I'm being talked about on the podcast, I'm doing something right. But it's not about me, guys.
That was a fancier way of saying what Reggie Jackson once said, which was, if they ain't booing, they don't know who you are.
Hey.
Which is true.
If they ain't hanging, you're not doing something right.
But just don't. What you don't have to do is cheer when your own guy is hurt. Shame on you, Houston Texans. Shame! All right, that's enough.
Shame on you for that.
We'll leave it there. Do we have anybody lined up for later in the week here, guest-wise, black tie?
We're working on a couple of people. Nothing I can announce just yet, but we're putting in work.
Anybody interesting?
Yeah. Do you want to know? I just don't want to say it in case
you
don't get them.
I'd be interested to know.
A couple of Steelers. Lamar Woodley.
Oh.
Brian Clark.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Terrific. I hope one of those or both work out. Okay. That's it.
Maybe
nice
Steve
to see
Smith.
You, Rank. Maybe Ooh, Steve Smith.
Panthers. Yes. Panthers. Steve Smith.
Ryan well, the Kilo. Other one, the other one's not around
yeah, he's
anymore.
Not in the
he's out of the NFL. That, by the way, they fix those knees up pretty good these days and get the guys back out on the field. Too bad. Steve Smith is still, he proved.
He was right on the cusp just before.
He had a fantastic year with the Giants, and then he hurt his knee, and he just was never right. Now he's out of the NFL. Poor guy. I feel bad for him. Speaking of, he was on my fantasy team. One little fantasy tip, and then we'll call it a day that I have to say. Matt Money Smith is the first guy I remember mentioning this. You know him from Fantasy Live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else would have brought this up. Maybe you, maybe someone else.
But it was Money who always had his Susan B. Anthony picks.
He would have the Susan B. Anthony silver dollar coin of the upset defense to pick up. Or I don't remember what the Susan B. Anthony connection was now that I'm thinking.
Because he's Money? I don't know.
Yeah, it was Money.
Like flipping a coin?
Yeah, but I don't know why it was Susan B. Oh, because it was rare. That's what it was. That's why we did it. Yeah. It was a suit because it was a rare coin that you otherwise wouldn't want. You wouldn't need it, you know, in an ongoing way like you would a $20 bill. But it was currency for 1 week for a special occasion kind of thing. So I've been playing that game, picking up defenses specifically week to week. Because I'm like, it'd be nice to have whatever, Eric Decker. But he's not on any waiver wire. He's,
right.
You know, anybody who has any value is gone at this point in the fantasy football season. Except for the defenses. You play the matchup. And obviously a good way to do it, just look at whoever the Jaguars are playing and get that defense. I had huge point totals doing that in the two previous weeks. This week, I picked up the St. Louis Rams, who were playing Matt Schaub and TJ Yates, and the Texans, and look what they did. They put up a huge number, too. This has won me three straight fantasy games in my league of record.
It's the way to go. And the one chagrin I have in our NFL.com Experts League is that my preseason sleeper defense was the Chiefs. Picked them up and played them the first 2 weeks. And by the way, since, you know, and I feel like I have free reign here so I can tell these stories. I pick up the Chiefs and everybody's like scoffing because we go to meetings and everybody kind of goes, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I want to talk about the Chiefs defense because I think they could be a good defense. And I get laughed at in this meeting. They're like, oh, you're a joke. Quit being be serious, Rank. Like, you're making a mockery of this. I'm like, I am dead serious. This Chiefs defense is legit. They had six Pro Bowlers last year. Like, now they've got a real coach. It'll be great. So I picked them up, and they're great the first 2 weeks. So that goes. And then they're playing the Eagles, and I didn't like the matchup. It's Thursday night game. So I released them, and I streamed it or shuffled in another defense who was fine. And then all of a sudden, the Chiefs smoked the Eagles. And then you picked them up, Dave did, on the waiver wire. So kudos to you on that. But it's funny. That's what I tell you.
I'm like Neo. I'm uploading the information, and I'm dominating as the season goes on.
But it's smart. But they've paid off, and I have them in a ton of other leagues, and people still write in and say, oh, thanks for recommending that. I'm like, yeah, I kind of wish I had them in that league because show those guys. But since you have them, I feel it's in the family, so I don't feel too bad.
All right, then. Well, a pleasure to see you, Rank. Let us know of your next appearance.
Thursday, TJ Schmitz.
TJ Schmitz. Tustin. Go see your pal, Rank. Rank Amateurs. Black Tie, you should go with him. Why don't you show up there? That'd be cool if you would do that.
I, myself and Rank, we don't get along. That's not a bit neither. We just don't.
I have a suspicion that it is a bit, but I don't know. I think you two do like each other when the cameras aren't on. All right, listen, we'll be back either way. We'll kibitz some more about Week 7 in full in the meantime. Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.